Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. I am so excited to worship and praise our God with you. Why don't you go ahead and stand up with me as we get ready to praise Jesus. Can I hear a shout for everyone that was at the women's conference? Yeah. It was so amazing. Wasn't that life-changing? I'm just so thankful for how amazing He is and how He changes our hearts just so easily. Just in one weekend, how many of you can say that you're different? Put your hands up. Amen. God is so amazing. Man, first service was crazy. Just this morning, God has something amazing planned in His presence. So if you're ready to receive that, I want you to come forward, and I just want you to lift your hands and just say, God, I'm going to receive whatever You have for me this morning. Go ahead for 30 seconds. Just let Him know that your heart is open to whatever He has for you this morning. Father, we just thank You and bless Your name. God, You are the reason that we are here. We are here to celebrate You and to give You the praise and worship that You're so deserving of. God, we just want to give You all of the glory in our lives. In the name of Jesus, go ahead, shout amen. Come on, clap. Are you ready to declare? this morning? On earth as it is in heaven.
Just show that we have been saved, but that puts the enemy under our feet. You see, I wore my stomping boots this morning, and I'm stomping out the enemy, and you can do that too. God, thank you for finding us worthy. Thank you for giving us a heavenly worth that is not defined on earth, but in you, God. We thank you for that worth and that glory.
Thank you,
Jesus. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you sneed me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone.
To him.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up.
You cleaned me up inside.
You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
Come on, sing it right to him this morning.
You cleaned me up inside.
You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. Hallelujah.
Come on, sing glory.
Glory to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you. I'll worship you. I'll give you glory.
Hallelujah.
thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know.
Someone in here needs to hear that Jesus really did think of you on the cross. It wasn't just Pastor Rhonda or Pastor Spencer or anybody else up on the altar. He really did think about you. You are not insignificant in this world. It doesn't matter how many people fill this building. We know that the call of the call of God on this house is big.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter how many people end up in this building, because he'll still look at you as completely significant.
Yes.
He looked at you and he said, you are worth saving. So I want you to just get your hands up and I want you to sing hallelujah with me. Sing
Show us your glory.
There are some that are struggling with their faith, struggling with even your reality. And Lord, in your presence, this fullness of joy, I ask that you'll just make yourself real to them today. God, it's something that nobody else can do but you. Lord, if they didn't have a desire, they wouldn't even be here.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll come on them and touch them. Let them tangibly feel your presence. I release that in the name of Jesus, even now. Tangible touch of heaven. God's healing somebody on the left side of your neck. It's been a pull. Usually when you tip your head to the right, it's not like drop pain, but it's almost like a stiff neck, but constant when you move to the right-hand side. God's healing you right now in the name of Jesus. Is somebody also in your digestive system, more onto the right-hand side? God is healing your digestive system in the name of Jesus. Unique, God. There is an individual in the room this morning that you, I don't know if it's something that happened when you were young, but you've mocked God for many, many years. And even this morning, in your head, you've mocked God. God would tell you this morning that I'm talking to you. He's given you 3 months. He's given you 3 months to make a decision for him. And you need to make that choice. He has stayed things in your life for you to be in this room to hear this right now. And after 3 months, he will stop staying. Things will occur. If you choose him, he will take them away. It's your choice. It's your choice. Today is the day of salvation. God, we thank you that you love us. There's another individual on your right side, on the lower shin, on the inner side of the shin, more touching the muscle. You're having pain even as you walk. God is healing you right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that you care about little needs, big needs, and our eternity. Lord, there's nothing out of your grasp, nothing that you don't care about in our life. And I thank you, Jesus, that no matter how hard the devil would press or even our flesh would press to pull us away from you, that God, you have never given up and you love us so very, very much. Someone's right hand, your bicep, just below your shoulder muscle, hurts from the outside like a band going all the way in. God's healing you right now. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. Your left side, four ribs up, closer to your side and your arm than to your heart. You've pulled a muscle or you've wounded yourself in that area. And if you'll start feeling for that, the pain is just gone in Jesus' name. God, I thank you. You're real. Lord, all we want to do is declare your realness to people. Left foot arch on the inner side of the arch. It's absolute. That hurts. You need healing right there. In Jesus' name, I just speak healing to the arch on the left foot on the inner side of the foot in Jesus' name. Thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for healing. Thank you for miracles. Thank you for prophetic, the prophecy. Someone's having gout on your right foot. It's in your big toe right now, in your joint. God is balancing out the your that acid in your body. He's balancing it out. Lord, we'll do whatever you want. It's your church. Whatever you want to do, God, it's what you care about. You know exactly what we need, when we need it, how we need it. Lord, we have an agenda, so we're not fly by night. but I don't really care. It's all up to you. It's your church, your people. And we just want you to love them. So, Lord, I release a fresh impartation this morning in the name of Jesus. I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit from the back of this church to the front in Jesus' name. Let the wave of your presence, God, be released in this house in Jesus' name. The Lord will be bathed in your presence and have fullness of joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Whatever you want. Father, you know how many times I've prayed and asked. I know that if you just breathed on us, we wouldn't even be standing. God, we want more than what we have of your presence. Lord, we've got to be sustained in this real world that constantly is drawing, dragging, and doubting and devilish. If we've ever needed your presence, Father, it's now. Someone's having inner ear infections. Let me tell you where I feel it. When I swallow, I feel it. If you go parallel to your ear, I feel it in that area, in the throat, all the way over to the ear canal. And that's mainly on the right-hand side. So in Jesus' name, I command all infection to be gone. Lord, heal that in Jesus' name. This morning. And we thank you that you are our God and our King. King Jesus, we submit our hearts to you fresh and new. We declare you as our Lord, Adonai, owner. You are our master and our King. And we submit to your kingdom. And we'll be led by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? On your way back to your chair, can you just tell two or three people, we're not going to do meet and greet this morning. We kind of ran over in time. We apologize. Not really. But if you'll just, on your way back to your chair, meet a few folks and tell them you thank God for his presence, that will be awesome.
Attention to the announcements that are up and coming. Invite you to a group. Join us at the group desk and sign up for groups today or go online to histabernacle.com/groups. Families that grow and go.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our Next Steps class that's offered here at His Tabernacle. If you want to build an amazing foundation on the Word of God and learn how to lead people with integrity and knowledge, then you want to join Next Steps. At the Horseheads campus, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Wednesday at 9 a.m. are our Next Steps classes. At Horseheads and Ithaca campus, Thursdays at 6 o'clock is when they're taught. I want to see you there. I want to see you get equipped and built up in the Word of God.
God said, you've got to put me first. He said, don't put me on your list, put me first.
This world needs more than 140 characters on a social media outlet. They need an encounter with God.
God didn't empower you just to fulfill your purpose. He empowered you that you would go beyond.
We must start living in the Spirit and stop living and trying to do God in the flesh in your own ability.
You're still the God that healeth me. You're still the Lord my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord my healer.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are you guys doing today?
All right. See, I figured 11 o'clock would be more awake than 9 o'clock. How are you guys doing this morning? A little better, a little better, a little better. Will you tap your neighbor, make sure they're awake today? Tap. All right, there goes Pastor Dan. Hey, if this is one of your first times with us, we want to say thank you for being here. We absolutely love people, and we're blessed to have you in the house. And if you have questions, or you want to know who we are, you want to make some connections, right over on this side, we have a guest reception after church. There's coffee. Amen? Anybody like coffee? And some great conversation, and we want to be able to answer your questions as well. Also, you know that Easter is about, what, 7-8 weeks away? Yeah? It's so close. And Easter is one of the best times for us to impact our community, right? Okay. Well, this year, we're going to do another production. And last year's production, it was absolutely out of this world. Minister McKenzie did an amazing job with it. And we want to be able to give you an opportunity to serve, if you want, to help impact our community through this this skit and production. So if you're interested at all in maybe playing a role or helping with setup or creating costumes or building, Sundays at 2:30 right here, we're going to be meeting for the Easter production for the next 7 weeks. So you can be on that team and we can impact our community together. Amen? Because we're a family and we do church together, right? Okay, real quick, Kayla, will you come here? And your husband ran away, so he wins. Where is Terry? Oh, he's hiding in the back. Come on, he thought he escaped it. Will you put your hands together for these guys real quick? Terry, it's you. You can't look behind, man. Talking about you. Hey, so one of the things that we are about is, like, this is His Tabernacle, right? Like, it's God's house, amen? But also, we're a family church. We love family. And you guys have been coming here for 9, 10 years? 12 years? Like, she came for Bible college and kind of got roped in. Terry chased her down and got her married. She hasn't let her go home, so it's great. But 12 years and 10 years. And we know that there's people that they don't feel connected to the house. And I want to let you know, our heart isn't just that your butt is in a seat, but that you're connected to the house. It's awful going somewhere not feeling like you're a part of. And we want, you know, everybody has a place here. And we've started something called Growth Track. And we're about our third month in. And Kayla and Terry host Growth Track. And it's their absolute heart to love people and to connect people. So Growth Track is 9:30 on Sunday mornings, right over in the big classroom on this side. You can get on our website, find Growth Track at the bottom, and get signed up. If you feel like you're disconnected, you're not a part of a group, you don't know where to serve, you just kind of feel like you're coming and you don't know anybody's name, Growth Track is the answer for you. I promise you want to be in Growth Track. Growth Track, you're going to learn about the church, learn about your gifts, learn about the part you play, because we're nothing without the body together. And then we're going to make sure you get hooked up in a class or hooked up in a group, because we absolutely love you and we absolutely love people. Amen? Awesome. You put your hands together for them. They do such a good job with Growth Track. Honestly, they're a blessing to this house, and so isn't Growth Track. Cool. So if you have your Bible, will you go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 with me real quick? We're going to transition to talk about this verse for a second. And I've heard this verse a lot, and people say, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is also. But you know that's actually backwards. That's not actually the verse. The Bible says, where your treasure is, that is where your heart will also be. And it's really interesting because we know we serve such a great God who loves us, and we are God's treasure. We see that through his heart by giving his son, his only begotten son, that none should perish, but all should have everlasting life. And he gave so we could have the reward of his treasure. And it's so powerful that we serve such a God who was willing to give and willing to count us as his treasure. Amen? Is anybody excited about salvation? Anybody excited about Jesus? We're so blessed to have such an amazing God. And the Bible's so cool because it says it like this. A lot of us, we believe, and even up to this week, believing that where my heart is, that's where I'm going to place my treasure. But it's interesting because we can determine our heart by where we place our treasure. It's not the other way around. It's not like what I love, I give to. No, no, no. What I want to love, I give to. And my heart will follow where my treasure goes. Our treasure consists of our time and our finances. And we're so blessed to have such a church that gives their time. And we have so many people that volunteer and are a part of the house. But I want to challenge you not to give half of our treasure. That God has asked for all of our treasure, and he deserves all of our treasure. See, here we believe in tithing and sowing and reaping and the blessing of God according to literally the scriptures all throughout the word. And today maybe you're saying, you know what? I love God. I want to challenge you to put your treasure with Christ and your heart's going to follow. Maybe you haven't placed your treasure yet. Can I ask you this? If you can trust God with your eternity, shouldn't we be able to trust him with our finances as well? Finances are so small in the eyesight of God and so big to us. If our treasures are built up in eternal things, our heart will remain focused on the eternal things as well. And I love how verse 19 and 20 say it in Matthew chapter 6. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Well, it's not bad to have nice things. We like nice things. But the nice things aren't my treasure. It's not where my heart is. My treasure is Christ. My treasure is his kingdom. My treasure is his house. And that's where I want to lay up my treasure. And as a body, I know that's where we want to lay up our treasure as well. Verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that is where your heart will also be. See, maybe today you don't give to the Lord with your finances. I want to challenge you. To count God as faithful. To give him your treasure, and I promise that your heart will follow. Amen. That it's a blessing to give. It's we get to give to God. We get to return to God. It's not a have to, it's a get to. Because he is our treasure. Amen? 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 Amen. Amen. Today, there's an envelope on your seat, or maybe you give by text. Maybe you're watching online. You can click give, or they'll put the number up right now. But I want to encourage you. Let God be your treasure. And your heart will always follow. I don't want to serve Netflix. I don't want to serve my refrigerator. I don't want to serve my car. I want my treasure to be Christ. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand up all over this place as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings today. And make God our treasure. Pastor Ron is going to come and say Deuteronomy chapter 28 because I always mess it up.
Amen. If I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your treasure to the Lord this morning.
Halloween.
We had such a powerful women's conference. It was such a great time, and I want to make sure that we say thank you to all of our phenomenal teams that participated and helped out. If you were a part, could you just stand up if you helped out at this? We just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for investing. We're hearing testimony after testimony already of the impact, so thank you for giving to the kingdom of God. I appreciate it so much, and I know Father God does too. Also, now that I have the microphone, I'll just keep going. So we launched my latest book this weekend at the Women's Conference, Victory Every Day. And they are still a few available out in the foyer, so make sure you grab yours today. They are only $12. I wanted to make it just so everybody could get it in their hands and get built up and encouraged to walk in victory every day.
All right. Amen. Are you done? Good. She's dangerous when she grabs a microphone nowadays. Ladies, I heard it was a phenomenal weekend. Amen. I just want to give an extra shout out to all the men that were here. There was so much estrogen in the room, I felt you were brave. We are ready for a baby dedication. How many of you love the babies? We have so many babies. Can I have the Norton family come? We have so many babies in the house, and there are two more baby dedications, but I believe they're going to be here in the next few weeks. And so we're going to dedicate Amelia today. She's already 23. You're 23. Isn't it weird? Isn't it weird? Come on, let's be really honest. It is really strange. Are you serious? You're almost 24? And I tell you, how old were you when you came? Where's Mama? There she is. Mother. Where's your father? There he is. You were 8 years old when you came here? How old were you? Eight? She was 5 years old when she started coming to this church. Wow. Isn't that crazy? I actually have gray hair. I look good for 60, don't I? Young man, how are you? Yes, you are here. I love baby dedications. This week, I've spent a lot of time in the book of Samuel. And in the book of Samuel, it talks about the dedication of Samuel. His mom couldn't have a baby. And I always forget her, what was his name? The father. Why would you name a guy Elk? It was short. So we'll just call his name Elk for short. Her husband she couldn't have a baby. And so she just, one day she went to the temple and she was kneeling down and praying, and she was praying desperately because she wanted to have a baby. And the priest actually thought she was drunk and rebuked her. And then said that, she said, if I have a baby, I will dedicate this baby to Jesus. You know, there's different belief systems, but we believe in the Bible. Is that correct? Just because you have a belief system doesn't mean it's right. Just because you have a belief system doesn't mean it's correct. Amen? Baby dedication has nothing to do with the baby, even though you're beautiful, Amelia. You are. Nothing to do with the child at all, because child doesn't know what's going on. The child's going to see pictures. That's it. But what this is about is mom and dad, uncle and aunt, grandma, grandpa, all investing. The greatest thing that we have is our next generation. That is the only thing, absolutely, literally, the only thing that will make us continue with success is what we're investing in the next generation. And there's nothing better. I know, isn't it cool? You can see yourself. Wave. See? Can you wave? It's so cool. Yeah, I know. I see you. It's knowing that this next generation, these two young ladies, are going to grow up. They're going to marry godly men. They're going to lead in ministry. They're going to do great and mighty things for Jesus. Because let's be honest, Wouldn't it be horrible if you got to heaven and your kids weren't there with? Man, the greatest investment we have is our children. And that is, and I'm proud that you brought Amelia up, and this is another day of dedication. So I'm going to pray with you. If you don't mind, I want to anoint her. And we're going to pray protection on her. And we're going to commission you two. And we're going to declare. You ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just speak blessing over her. God, we thank you that she already knows your presence. She's been in the house of God as she's been in mommy's womb. And Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name that she'll never forget and always grow in your presence. Always grow in knowing, hi. Always growing, knowing Jesus. Always growing, knowing Jesus. Lord, we rebuke any sickness that would try to come on her in Jesus' name. We declare health and blessing in every aspect. Lord, we just commission mom and dad in Jesus' name. And Lord, we declare, Father, that they're going to raise her up in the love and admonition of God. Their house will be filled with worship. Their house will be filled with praise. Their house will be filled with word. And God, their house will be filled with service for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Are you going to be a preacher? Did I hear you preach for a second? Is that what I heard? Isn't it good? Isn't it good, Amelia? So I just want to declare blessing over everybody in this home, this household, that God, each one will know you, walk with you, and be able to lead her closer to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you. Can you give this family a big hand clap? We love you. 5 years old, Chicky Babe. Isn't it crazy? 5 years old. Hi, Lauren. How are you? Your pastor loves you. How old was Lauren when you started coming here? Lauren was an infant. Jeepers. It just feels so strange maturing. Isn't it weird? Because you don't really feel like you're getting old. Is anybody at least 40? You don't feel like you're getting old, do you? How about when you turn 50? Does it feel like you're getting old? Well, let's be honest. Sometimes when you get up in the morning, you say, dear Jesus. How about, you know, I don't care how old, how mature you are. I'm going to use the mature word. I don't care how mature you are. The fact is you still feel very young and vibrant and exciting. Amen? And so today, this is a great day. We've had a phenomenal service. This morning's first service, the presence of God hit. It was, if you're a guest in the house, we don't usually spend 50 minutes or an hour in worship. We're usually about 30 minutes. But the presence of God has been so strong today. First service, the worship service, went about 59 minutes. The presence of God was just so thick in the house. Why do we love that? Because listen now, going to church without God is boring. Yeah. Amen. You got to have God show up. And some of you haven't felt God in a lot of years. And I just want to encourage you that sitting where you're sitting might be the situation. Now, I think we should have some fist fights for the front row of this church. No? My daughter-in-law, we call her the thug of the family. She's ready to fight in the front. This is the year of... This is the year of next level. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to the next level. A few weeks ago, how many of you enjoyed Brother Shelton last week? Wasn't that a powerful move of the Holy Spirit? I had a great privilege of preaching in Ithaca. 4 people gave their hearts to Jesus. And it's a great season. Amen. Just watching lives transform. How many of you realize we're going to be starting a new campus down in Mansfield, Pennsylvania? Pastor Dan will be the pastor down there. He'll be here for the first service or parts of it and then scooting down there just like they do for Ithaca. And I'm very excited about it. I believe we found a location down there. They're going to be starting small groups down there probably in the next 3 weeks. And so, man, things are taking off. I don't know if you do know this or not, but we also have a church in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada. Did you know that? It's not a His Tabernacle. It's not called His Tabernacle, but they are our church up there. We oversee the pastors in the church. We also have a church in Kentucky. I don't know if you knew that either, but in Louisville, Kentucky, we have a church. And we also have four churches down in Mexico, in the Yucatan Peninsula. And it's exciting. In fact, this morning, he's preaching the same message that I'm preaching to you right here in New York State. He's preaching it in Campeche, Mexico. It's so cool watching how God is moving all over the earth. It's next level time. Can I hear an amen? I said it's next level time. Can I hear an amen? And every next level takes faith. See, that's the key. Faith is the key to your next level. And we preached 2 weeks ago on how fear is the opposite of faith, and that fear will destroy your next level or the opportunity to get there. And this morning I want to teach you, I'm just going to be very short today. Really, I was in the first service and I will be in the second, that you have the power over fear, that fear has no place in your life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Come on, shout, I don't have a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. You see, God said, I've not given you the spirit of fear. Some fear is actually a demonic spirit. And that's where you take authority over it in the name of Jesus. But most fear that's in our life is not a demon. Most fear that's in our life is something that's in our head. And that is, instead of faith stepping out on nothing to land on something, we deal with an emotional reaction to a circumstance that's in front of us. And our reaction is not a reaction of faith that God can do all things, amen? But it's a reaction of fear and being afraid, therefore being stymied or arrested in your very moment. God doesn't want you to live in fear. In fact, the Bible says, if you have fear, you won't have power, because every time you need power, you'll be afraid to use the power of God. The Bible says that if you have fear, that you don't have love. How do you know that? Because perfect love casts out all fear. You see, fear destroys love because you're always afraid to give it. That's the hard part about love. Every time you love, you become vulnerable. Every time you become vulnerable, it is inevitable. You will be hurt. And every time you get hurt, you must forgive or you can't love again. Love is dangerous. And you see, those that are afraid to go to the next level always are stopped in love. Also, the Bible says that the spirit of fear is not on you, or if it is, that it will touch your physical mind. The Bible says the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Turn to someone next to you and say, really, I am sane. Now, I don't know if they believe you, but you know, God has promised you a sound mind. Now, a high percentage, I believe it's in the 90s, I needed to look up the number before I preach, but I believe it's in the 90 percentile of all sicknesses originate in the brain. Now, I'm not talking the thinking brain, I'm talking in the worry and stress. See, God has not given you that. God has not put you in that position. That will always stop you from moving forward. Your next level is dangerous. Your next level is the unknown. Well, how do we know that? Because you've never been to that level before, which means simply that you're going to have to trust God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is trusting God. The challenge is, if you don't trust God, how will you walk by faith and not by sight? You're going to have to constantly live in a life of fear. Therefore, every time you start making steps forward, you're stepping into the unknown, you're always going to retract out of a fear base. Now listen, it all starts in the brain. The fact is that our minds are dangerous. Turn to someone and say, your mind is dangerous. Your mind is dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Because we have a choice. We have to choose whether we're going to believe the word of God or what our mind says. Your mind is absolutely dangerous. In fact, they have proven it's a scientific study called neuroplasticity. Everybody say this with me. Neuroplasticity. I preached a whole series on this, I believe, about 2 years ago. Neuroplasticity. It actually is a science of the study of the brain. And they have proven that when they study the brain, your brain literally recreates itself on a constant basis in this manner. That when you think positive thoughts, godly thoughts, building thoughts, what's created in your physical brain is what's called a brain tree or a thought tree. And they've studied it, and they actually had pictures. I had pictures a few years ago where it's like a pink tree that looks very healthy. But when you think negative thoughts or fear or doubt, you are still building thought trees in your brain, and they took pictures of it, and it's literally like a tree that's rotted and all withered up and looks deathly. You see, God created our brains to be recreated. God created our brains to be renewed. God created our brains so that we don't have to remain in the same mentality that we had before we knew Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But God said that we can renew our minds, be transformed in our minds through the Word of God. You see, fear has its greatest power in people that are ignorant about faith. Say it one more time. Fear has its greatest power with people that are ignorant about faith. Now, I'm not talking religion. I'm not talking you going to Sunday school. I'm talking about you knowing the Word of God. You see, the enemy is working desperately to keep you out of church. He's working desperately to keep you out of rock solid faith. He's working desperately to keep you out of step 2 and 3 and 4. He's working desperately to keep you out of groups. He's working desperately to keep you out of daily devotions. Why is he doing that? Because he knows, like Jesus declared in the book of John chapter 6, that the words that I speak are spirit and life. You see, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God, Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is alive. It's not just a book. It's not like the Bhagavad Gita or the Quran or some other book religiously sitting on a pew or up in a bookcase. This is the living, breathing Word of God, and it's alive because God's Word is yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it all comes to fruition. You see, we are not serving a dead God and a dead religion out of a dead book, but we're serving a living Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's giving us the living Word, the Word of life. As a believer, the less you know about the Word, the less you can apply the Word when fear comes into your life. So the more ignorant you are in knowing the Word of God, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. We fight not against flesh and blood. So where's the fight? The Bible then continues in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that it's taking into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. So all of a sudden you have a real situation happening in front of you. It is a catastrophe or a problem that is bigger than you are. It is real. It is valid. Not saying that you avoid the truth. Excuse me, the facts. It's a real fact. Finances, family, physical health. No matter what that circumstance is in your life, you're staring at. The truth is it's real. But when you look at that fact, you have to make a conscious choice. Do I choose to believe this, or do I choose to believe the Word? Now, people say, well, that's mind control. And I'm telling you right now, you are absolutely correct. I told you it was a cult. It's a mind control cult. Listen, you don't have to believe what a church says. In fact, you shouldn't. You shouldn't believe what a preacher says. You shouldn't. You shouldn't believe what a religion says. You shouldn't. But what you should believe is the Word of God. Can I hear an amen? God's Word is set and sealed. The Bible declares that if anyone adds to it or subtracts to it, may all the curses of the book come upon them. See, this is not just another book. This is the book of life. you and I have the ability through the covenant of God to know what we have as promises, and they are yea and amen. God cannot lie. But when you don't know the word and fear comes in your life, and let me tell you, I don't care how big and strong you are, I don't care how smart you are, I don't care how young you are or how old you are, I don't care where you live on this planet, fear will come. So when it comes, what do you do with the fear? This is a decision that each one of us have to make. Those that are ignorant to the word of God, they usually will say, well, I guess this is God's will. I guess I have to accept this as truth. But those who know the word and know the covenant of God can look at an attack of the enemy, look at just life happening, and you can take authority over your thoughts and start living by faith rather than living by the circumstances. Every time you live by a circumstance, you have no solidity under your feet. There's only one thing that's solid that never changes. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. I want you to know that you can know your God. I want you to know that you can know his word. You can know his constitution. You can know his covenant. And when hell starts licking your toes, you don't have to let fear run your life. You can say into this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt. You shall have what you ask. You don't have to be controlled by fear. You can apprehend and cancel fear by faith. You see, faith is powerful. We must know that God has given us clear direction, that we can't trust our brains. Remember, I told you this a few weeks ago, so I'll say this example and then we'll launch. We'll start. You go to the mirror, you look at your belly hanging over, and you say to yourself, self, you fat thing, you need a diet. So that day you decide you're going to go on a diet, and you're going to behave yourself, no sugar, just in your coffee. No sugar, that's the deal I made, just my coffee. No sugar. So that day, man, you just put like one teaspoon instead of two teaspoons into your coffee. And, man, you're good all day. Listen, I hate salad, so I didn't eat salad. You know, you eat something else. But, you know, you eat good. And that night is a company party. And somebody comes to your party, one of your friends, and they come to your party, and they made not just chocolate chip cookies, they made chocolate chip cookies. And they brought them warm. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And they look at you and they say, listen, now, I know that you're on a diet, but I made these for you. And you look at them and you say, oh. And your brain says, just eat one. You don't want to offend them. So you pick up that cookie and you can feel the heat coming through your hand. Oh, Jesus. You start feeling your glands start to salivate. Your mind is starting to say, I feel God coming on me. And all of a sudden you grab that cookie and you put it in your mouth and you take your bite. And it's not just the dough, but this the chocolate. You can feel it starting to mix in your mouth. And you can feel the eruption of the flavors starting to happen. And your joy is full and God is good. And then your brain says to you, I told you, you fat thing, you couldn't even go a day. You can't trust your brain. You can't trust your thoughts. This is why God put entire portions in the scripture that teaches us that we have to control our thoughts. You can't control what you listen now. And you know what I'm talking about when we're talking about fear coming in your life. Because fear always starts small. And then you start to focus on your fear and it starts to enlarge. And then all of a sudden, what's happened to your life? You are now consumed with that one topic. Not too long ago, I had a situation happen in my own life. And it was a difficult time for me. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at it and I could feel fear come in my life of past experiences. And I had to start dealing with it, and I did. I started dealing with it, But then I realized for almost a month, I'm waking up every morning, and that's the first thought in my brain. After I came to myself, I said, that's not allowed to be the first thought in my brain. I want to be singing to God when I wake up. I want a new song in my spirit. I want God to be the first thought in my brain on the first of every day. Listen now, we don't talk first every single morning. I love my wife. I bring her coffee every morning. But really, you'll find that we don't talk at all. We both go in our opposite directions after I hand her a cup of coffee, and we go spend at least an hour in prayer in separate locations, because the most important person you invest in is Jesus Christ. And I realized that this small little fear had grown so large in my life that all of a sudden, now listen, I've been born again over 30 years, that all of a sudden, now that was my thought every morning. And now I decided that that's not the way it's supposed to be. So I made a decision, and I spoke even to my subconscious level. I want you to know, you have authority even over your subconscious level in the name of Jesus. And I said, when you wake up, and from now on, you're going to be singing a song in your spirit, and the first words out of your mouth are going to be to your God. Not about our thought, or not going to be about that person or this person or that situation. And I want you to know, from that day forward, the very first thought is either a song in my spirit, or I'm going to have my very first words with Jesus. It's not about that situation. You have to make a decision that you will refuse to be controlled by your thoughts. And fear would love to own you. Fear would love to control you. Remember, fear grown up is called a phobia. And phobias usually have a demonic spirit attached to them. Because a phobia will absolutely control that whole portion of your life. You ever met somebody afraid to go over a bridge before? They'll avoid everything to go over a bridge. Listen, that's not normal. I'm afraid to fly. It's irrational not to fly. What? More people are killed in a car than in a plane every single year. And usually when it's a plane, it's a group. So you can go down to the party. Woo! So few people are killed in an airplane. But yet some people will never travel where they've always wanted to go because they're afraid of an airplane. It's not rational. Phobias start to control your life, but phobias never just start. They're grown. I had a sebaceous cyst one time, and it started off, it felt like a pimple. Then all of a sudden it started to grow. Then it started to grow more. And it was on the back of my head. And then I started having problems putting my hat on. Listen, I had to go get it cut off. I'm glad I did, because I could put my hat on again. It didn't belong there. But it didn't start big, it started small. Fear starts small and grows. So that's why the Bible says that we've got to be able to control our minds, because if we're not going to control our minds and how we think, that we're going to be controlled by our minds. You either control it or it controls you. And the Bible says, I walk by faith and not by sight. God's never called you to be controlled by your own brain. He's called you to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Oh, that was a few really weak amens. Say amen or my. Philippians chapter 3, 6 through 9. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. What's anything? Anything. Finances, relationships, physical bodies. You don't have to be worried about anything. The Bible says actually anything done outside of sin, outside of faith is sin. That was encouraging, wasn't it? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace, everybody shout, I love peace. And the peace of God, that peace that reassures your heart, that peace that which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Finally, believers, shout, I'm a believer now. Didn't the Partridge Family sing that? Hey, no, that's a different song. Okay. What was that? Hey, okay, let's move on. Finally, believers, whatever is true, honorable, worthy of respect, here, I love this one, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure, wholesome, lovely, brings peace, whatever is admirable, is repute, if there's any excellence, if there's any praiseworthy, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them. Implant them in your heart. These things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice, shall practice. Practice these things in daily life, and the God who is the source of peace and well-being will be with you. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You shall keep in perfect peace and constant peace the one whose mind is steadfast, that is, committed and focused on you, because he trusts and takes refuge in you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance that is written in it. For then, everybody shout then. Shout then. For then you shall make your way prosperous. I want you to know this. Prosperity and success has nothing to do with God. What? God has success and prosperity for every one of us. He said, if you will keep your mind and meditate on my word and allow my word to be prominent in your life, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have great success. You see, when our minds are stayed on God, fear has no envelope, has no place, has no little widget to come on in. Come on now. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. I want you to know that if the devil can get you in fear, you'll never go to your next level. If the devil can get you afraid, I want you to hear me now, he'll work desperately to bring you to that place that you will never step out on nothing to land on something. You and I have been called to walk by faith and not by sight. We have been called to accelerate, not decelerate. We've been called to cross over, not stay on the other side of the Jordan. We've been called to conquer, not to be conquered. And fear will conquer you, but faith will always overcome. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen? So how do I do this? Come on, let's just be straight up. You ready? Yeah, you got to practice. Turn to someone and say, you got to practice. Because that's truth. You do know that you got to practice. Listen, I don't know if you'll ever fully overcome. This is something you practice on a consistent basis. Because fear is coming. Something is going to happen where the flood of fear is going to come in. Listen, that's just life. It's not that it's not coming, but it's what we're going to do when we get there. If you have no plan, come on, you know the old saying. If you fail the plan, you plan to fail. So this is why you've got to know the word of God. When my wife was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, I want you to know that fear starts coming up. So we had to do something. Thank God we knew the word of God. Thank God we said, thank you, doctor. I know that you're doing the best that you can, and no disrespect, because he is. He's a natural doctor doing natural things. He's doing his best. But I serve the great physician. Can I hear an amen? And I thank God that we knew the word. If we didn't know the word at that point in time, then what would have happened to my wife? She probably wouldn't be sitting here as normal as she is. Well, you know. I didn't say nothing. I'm afraid. Fear. How about when all of a sudden you look at your bank account and something ain't right? Fear starts to come run on you. All of a sudden you're seeing your relationship. Maybe you hear something about your kid or something's happened in your marriage. Fear starts to grip you. You know, I've always said this. If one of the greatest weight loss programs in the world is divorce. No, it really is. That's when I usually see people lose weight the quickest. Ready? If you learned how to have a relationship, you wouldn't have had to lose weight that way. Got quiet in here, didn't it? We've got to learn. Let's move on. Let's go on. That was a whole sidestep. You know, somebody said to me the other day, they said, you know, Pastor, you preach really good, but you go on these rabbit trails. So I'm trying not to. Is that all right? Turn to someone and say, practice. That means this. When fear comes in your mind, you already have to have the word of God alive in your heart. You've got to know that there is no fear in perfect love. That your God is able to deliver you from any situation. There is nothing that he cannot accomplish. There is nothing that he cannot do. He is not weak. He is not a man. His arm is not short. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. But I trust in the name of the Lord my God. I want you to know we can be like a David that can reach down and pick up a stone when all the enemy was standing up there mocking the children of God. All these tough dudes with big swords. But little David came in because he had learned to trust his God. He knew the word of his God. And he walked in with a pebble and he beat that little giant. Excuse me, that big old giant, and cut his head off. Can I hear an amen? I want you to know, when you walk by faith, no matter how big the giant is, you can always win. But I want you to realize, you got to start practicing somewhere. 88% of people have hidden fears. What are your fears? What are the things that strangulate your faith? What are the fears that halt you while you're trying to move forward? See, if you don't know what they are, or if you've been avoiding them for years, how are you going to address them when they come back up? Because, baby, they're coming back up. Until you conquer them, they're going to come back up. It's time to look fear in the eyes and say, in the name of Jesus, my God said I can conquer all things. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, my Lord. I cannot lose with God on my side. But if you don't know the words, you're going to go, and all you can do is whine. Listen, whining gets you nowhere. Amen. What you need to do is get a hold of the word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You need to get a hold of the word of God that changes and transforms situations and atmospheres. You need to get a hold of the word of God that is supernatural, that when you declare it in seed form, it will always come forth in great harvest. You need to declare the word of God that fear has no place in your life, because perfect love has greater place than anything else. Remember, the darkness is just the absence of light. Fear is the absence of faith. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You need to be in the word on a constant basis. You need to be in the Bible. You need to be in church. Listen, you got every good excuse not to be in church. But let me tell you something. When hell starts licking your toes, baby, what you're playing ain't going to fix it. Turn to someone and say, practice. That means you're not always going to be good at it. But what I found is this, is that when you start learning how to dribble a basketball, all of a sudden it's over there. You go over, you pick up your ball, bring it back. Practice. Now all of a sudden you can go 30 seconds, you can go a minute, you can go 2 minutes. Now you're going a little bit higher, and then all of a sudden now you can dribble down the court and you can keep, you don't even have to look. You can start moving that ball down the court. Now all of a sudden you can dribble behind your back. Now you can throw it between your legs. Now when you pop it up, come on now. Listen, I can only do an air ball because I stink. But practice is everything. You need to practice when all of a sudden fear comes in your life. You need to look fear in the eye and declare the word of the Lord. Listen, your word isn't going to change it. God's word changes it. So when you know God's word, then it changes circumstances and situations. That's why, again, the devil's trying to keep you out of the Bible, because he knows that if you know your covenant rights, you know the scriptures, that power is in the word of God, and it will transform your situation. Practice. Turn to someone and say, practice. You see, the battle's between your ears. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8 says this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or fleshly minded is death. Now, we know that scientifically. Scientifically, it's truth.
Well, I don't know. That's the Bible.
No, no. Scientifically, how you think determines your health, determines your mindset to success, determines your happiness. Scientifically, God's word proven again. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is the enemy of God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can be. So then, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. We must tell our minds when fear comes in that you are not going to hold me to this level. You are not going to hold me in this position. Yes, I know that I'm getting ready to step out on nothing to land on something. I know that I might be able to fall on my face. I know that I might seem to fail. But I want you to know this. Failure's not falling. Failure's not getting back up. And I want you to know that God is always there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you all days, all the way to the end of the world. I want you to know that you can take steps of faith, for the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. You'll be led by the Holy Ghost, and step after step, as much as it fears immediately brings in your life, you can allow faith to arise to dispel the fear, and you can start walking into nothingness and seeing God create right before your eyes. See, that's who you are. This is who you are.
Well, I hope it works for me.
No, this is who you are. You're a child of the Most High God. You've been bought with a price. God has put within you His Holy Spirit who brooded over the earth at creation. You see, you are not weak, but you are strong. And even when you are weak, He becomes strong even in your weakness. I want you to know that God is for you and not against you. And it's time to live in faith and to dispel fear by declaring the word of God and bringing your mind into control and saying, you have no right to tell me nothing. I believe the word over every thought. Tell you something, when you start doing that, it shifts your life. Not just like happiness, but it shifts your life physically. Physically proven. That's why they say people who are faith-based, when they're sick, get healthy quick. Because they believe that God is able. This is all about trusting God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more you hear about Him, the more you trust Him. The more you trust Him, the more you know Him. The more you know Him, the more you trust Him. The more you know Him, the more you trust Him. And it just keeps building and building and building and building. All of a sudden, you can stand at this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt. You shall have what you ask. And that's truth. That's not fake. That's not just a theory. But each one of us have got to make a decision whether we're going to practice this or not. Some of you have been held. Listen, some of you in this room right here, you've had ideas. I'm talking like genuine, Holy Ghost-given ideas. And you've never done them because you're afraid. Some of you have, God has prompted you to do something that makes no sense to the natural mind. But you knew it was God. And you said no because you were afraid that you would fail. Or you were afraid you were wrong. When I went on the road as an evangelist, we were pastoring a church up in Newfield. I'm almost done. Pastoring a church in Newfield, Cody and Chad were 4 and 3. Corinne had just been born. So 4 and 3. Corinne had just been born. I'm talking like a month. And the Holy Spirit told me to go on the road as an evangelist. You got to know what that means. I'm leaving a parsonage, which means I'm leaving a 2,300 square foot house. At that point, they actually did pay me a few dollars. They paid me, I think it was $250 a week. I had a stable environment because I could preach every single Sunday. I knew where I was going to be. I knew what I was going to do. And then all of a sudden he tells me, throw that all away I'm going to send you on the road full time as an evangelist. If you have a brain, you have a little fear. And I was scared. Because I know what it takes. It takes 5 years to go and to be what's called an itinerant minister to become full-time. So it would normally take 5 years for someone to go full-time on the road as an evangelist. That means they usually work a full-time job and travel on weekends. And the Holy Spirit said, do it now. I resigned our church. Our last day was the last week of July of 1995. I had gotten on the phone like 2 months before. I'd started making my calls. And my very first ministry was in Warner Robins, Georgia. We got an apartment on Water Street in Elmira. My wife and I, two young boys, a brand new baby, a dog that weighed 100 pounds, and my mother-in-law. That alone took faith. On Water Street, small little two-bedroom. It's true. I didn't know better. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. Went on the road. We went all the way down. I remember our very first ministry, Warner Robins. I loaded all the kids in our green caravan. And we drove 18 hours to Warner Robins, Georgia. That morning, I sat in the pew where I wasn't supposed to be sitting because I was supposed to be preaching. And the pastor said, well, I went on vacation. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to preach this morning. You just hang tight. I'll let you preach tonight. That night came, wow, power of God hit, man. Oh, by the way, in the first service, in the morning service, I had to go back to the children's room because my children got kicked out of children's church for fist fighting. So Sunday night is there, and man, the power of God comes. We had people with arthritis healed. We had a deaf man healed. I believe there was a blind man healed that night too. Man, God's power was just flowing. And at that point in time, I would be releasing the anointing through, I would just release the anointing by releasing a breath. And it was just something that I was working through and growing through in my life, in my spirit, learning how to release the anointing. And the pastor came to me and he said, on Monday morning, he said, yeah, you're not allowed to preach here anymore. And I says, well, why is that? He says, well, because you blow on people. And I said, but Jesus did that. And he goes, no, it's not allowed here. I said, well, next time I'll just spit on them. Jesus did that twice. That didn't go over well either. And he handed me a very small check. Remember, this is our first full-time ministry. Very small check. By the way, it was a check. How am I getting home? I'd sold, I believe, some tapes, and somebody came and we had just enough. I remember driving. We went all the way. I think we stopped once. My wife was very upset. We stopped once. She had to change the diapers, and thank God they were all in diapers. Hey, you know, yeah, they were all in diapers? No, they weren't in diapers. Cody. Pastor Cody, you were in diapers that long? How did they go to the bathroom? I didn't stop for the bathroom. We stopped in York, Pennsylvania from Georgia, besides gas. Oh, that's what it was, when they ran when I got gas. Let me tell you, honestly, it wasn't enough to pay the bills. And I'm telling you, my first thought was, you're stupid. You are an idiot. You brought your family out here to stink and starve to death. I'll tell you, fear started to grip me. And then I went to the mailbox, and there was a check in the mailbox that paid the bills. I told the story before, but another time I went, we ran out of diapers, ran out of milk. There was nothing left. The church that I'd gone to and preached, they ripped me off. Literally, the pastor took the offering. I got home and I said, God, you got to do something, man. I'm telling you right now. And I want you to know that when you're responsible for your kids, sometimes fear grabs you. So here I am. I've got no food for my kids. I've got no diapers and I've got no milk. I've got nothing. I've got nothing but being able to live by faith. And I said, God, now I had a really strong talk with God. I said, Father, you're the one who told me to go on the road. You're the one who told me to travel. You're the one who told me to do this. It's your responsibility. I'm a tither and I'm a seeder. It's your responsibility to take care of this. You know, a few more hours later, a man named Joe English knocked on our door and he said, I was at my house and the Holy Spirit spoke to me to go buy you some groceries. He came with 3 bags of groceries, the correct size diapers, milk, and he said, I even bought you a steak. Jeez. But I want you to know that if I had allowed fear to rule my life, watch, you would not be sitting here today. If I had allowed fear to control my mind to keep me from my next level, you would not be sitting in this building right now. There would not be a His Tabernacle Family Church here, Ithaca, Mansfield, St. John, Kentucky, or Mexico. No, I really mean that. Thank you, Lord, that I learned enough of the word that when fear started to come, I allowed not it to control me, but me to control it through the scripture. You got to know this. And if you don't know this, you're not going to your next level. You're always going to be where you are because you're always going to be afraid to take a step out into nothing to land on something. Amen? Was that practical enough for you? Bow your head with me this morning. Thank you. I do. I appreciate that God's word is truth. And that I learned a long time ago, you have to control your mind. Today, I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar quickly. Mindy, I'm going to have you stand up here. Today, I don't know where you are with God, but I know this. Some of you are afraid to get saved because you're afraid of what people are going to say to you. Here's one that I've heard many times. I'm afraid that God is going to get rid of me. I'm not going to even be me anymore. I want you to know He made you perfect. But let me tell you, when you got God in you, you are perfection. He doesn't take away your personality. He makes it greater. I'm afraid I'm going to stop having fun. I don't know who ever told you that. Listen, you got drunk enough, you either realize you're owned by liquid or you've done the dumbest things in the world, stoned and drunk. Being controlled by a substance. I don't know what your reason is, your fear is, not to give your heart to Christ. But today I pray you're brave enough to say, I don't care what it is, I'm going to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If I could, everyone's head bowed and their eyes closed this morning, I'm going to ask very quickly, if today you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you want Him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. I see your hand, little boy, and we'll have Mama bring you up. Anybody else this morning, you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? 5, 4, 3, 1. I just learned a long time ago, if you got to beg, it's probably not a good thing. Let's all stand to our feet. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to go up, I'll go up with you. If you're struggling with a spirit of fear, I want you to know this morning that this prayer team knows how to lay hands on you and set you free in Jesus' name. And if you'd like to receive Jesus, this is Mindy right here. Wave at everybody. You're up there too. Look. If you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, I want you to make a beeline right to her. We're going to pray with you. We're going to get you a Bible. We're going to get you started on this adventure of faith. And baby, you don't ever have to be controlled by fear another day in your life. Can I hear an amen? Can you pray this with me? Jesus, I take authority over my brain, over my mind. I command it in Jesus' name to come into submission to the Word of God. I command fear to be broken in my life. I command fear that you will no longer have power, but faith will rule my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. If you need prayer, make sure you get out of your chair. Get up here. And if you want Christ right here, Mindy's going to wait right just for you.